Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker Studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and welcome to another episode of Perspectives on Healthcare. It's my guest today who's going to share his perspective on healthcare is Harvey Castro. He is an emergency room physician. He is the founder and former CEO of a company called Trusted ER. He is from Dallas, Texas, a member of Generation X. Harvey, welcome to the podcast.
Honor being here, and thank you so much for having me.
You bet. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Yeah. In order to do that, I want to give a quick little background. I grew up in New York City, humble beginning, single parent, teenage parent that reared me. And my goal was always to, how can I help others? How can I do more? And my foundation, obviously being Hispanic, there was a lot of herbal vitamins, traditional medicine that was invoked in me as a child. And as I came up the ranks, my first job was in a health food store. And when I started learning just the art of medicine, I wanted to learn more. And so that's what pushed me to go into medical school. When I went to medical school, basically to make a long story short, I started 8 emergency rooms. And I wasn't happy with the quality of just working at a regular hospital. So I literally created my own system, and it was called at the time Trusted ER. And my goal was 100%, what can I do to create an amazing patient experience?
So what's your definition of an amazing patient experience? Or is that something that you don't have a definition of, that the definition comes from the patient? What's the interplay there, or how does that work for you?
For me, it's all about the experience. And exactly, you said it. Every person looks at things differently. My goal was, how can I look at it from 10,000 feet high and see what I could personally change? I know that patients come in, and first of all, they hate that the physicians sometimes are not personable. So that was one common thread that I said, you know what, patients come in and they feel like they're being treated too quickly or not personal enough. So I was making sure that every doctor I was training, make sure that they had that personal effect and teach more of the bedside manners. For other patients, they said, look, for me, it's more about the entire experience. Like, I love going into the ER, but I hate getting all these different bills and I'm not sure who to talk to. So I said, you know what, there's a lot of back end office things that need to be addressed. So then we went through and said, okay, these are common issues that patients don't like. Let's start addressing them.
Yeah, amazing. And it is so important to be listening to the patients, because they're ultimately the ones who, without them, you don't exist. So
exactly.
What does quality healthcare mean to you?
Quality healthcare means it's partly a combination of that patient experience, and obviously the expertise has to be there. And when I say expertise, obviously the physician has to be up to date to the latest technology, but in also to my, in my respect, I think of technology as a key issue in healthcare that we all physicians need to make sure that they're up to date and make sure that they're looking at what's the next cutting edge technology that could help that particular patient.
Okay. Talk to me about technology then, because, I see you kind of in a in-between thing, right? You were talking about your upbringing and you're working in a health food store, your experience with herbal remedies and so on from your family and culture, but you're also talking about the technology that's out there. How do you kind of, like, do you walk both sides of the line there, or how does that look for you?
Excellent question, actually. And this is something that makes me laugh, because I'm constantly talking to my mom and she's constantly telling me, hey, we need to, I don't want you to try X, Y, and Z vitamin, or I want you to try this and that. And I'm like, I'm open to it, but to some degree, not some degree, to a large extent, I want to make sure that there's science behind it. If she tries to tell me X, Y, and Z, I totally listen, but I want to make sure that there's strong research that supports it. If there's strong research that says, you know what, that's the thought, but in reality, these clinical studies show X, then I will tell my mom, I'm sorry, love you to death, mom, but I disagree with you here. This is why. But that doesn't take away from me looking at both sides. What's interesting, when I was in medical school, I was fortunate enough to be part of a group of medical students that believed in alternate medicine. And so we learned the traditional medicine, but we were also learning about vitamins and herbs. And this was back in the day. I'm older now. But back then, that was really big because at the time, it was uncommon for a doctor to also ask, hey, what vitamins are you taking? What herbs? Because those can actually interact with the current medicines that you might be taking. And I strongly believe to be a complete physician, you need to see both sides because I believe there's strong science on both sides. And if you use it together, you could actually give a patient more.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just be upfront about this. You know, I've got a spinal cord injury. I've got a propensity towards urinary tract infections, and which means I'm on a lot of antibiotics. And I have, you know, I'm doing yogurt and probiotics along with those. And there's an issue. The issue is that the science doesn't show the efficacy of those remedial measures to, you know, to prevent C. diff and so on. And I can tell you that from my scientific approach, I've got a sample size of one, and it seems to be working for me. And I, you know, do the advocacy with my physician to say, hey, as long as this won't hurt me, as long as it won't interfere with the meds, as you've said, can we at least try this so that it's been working for me to this point? Go ahead.
And I'm going to interrupt you. I love what you said because that is exactly what I always teach doctors. Just because everybody we learn, we assume they're within the bell curve, that doesn't mean that there might be someone on either side of the bell curve that it may apply and may help. I always say, listen to your patients. Your patients know best. You know, there's a reason why they say this antibiotic works better than another because they've tried it. They already know. The other thing, when I bring in technology, you're talking about Acidophilus and probiotics, which I agree. I think they're amazing. And I personally always, when I write a prescription, I always write for a probiotic and the antibiotic because I tell them, hey, take both. Just to take that example that you just opened up and gave, there's lots of urinary companies that are lining Foleys and bags and different technologies to make sure that that doesn't produce bacteria. To give you a quick example, I can't remember the name of the company, but I remember in the last couple of months reading about a company that is doing dialysis, but inside their dialysis, they have a monitor that's checking to see how much bacteria, and that's totally new. So that way, before the patient even is aware that they're sick, before they even mount a fever, the dialysis machine is saying, hey, their viral load, I mean, the bacterial load is higher than normal. Hey, you may want to start putting them on an antibiotic. And I'm like, wow, that is technology. That is the way it should be.
Fantastic. I think that really kind of hits where I was going next. And that is, I'm looking, can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
You know, that's a hard question, but to me personally, that is giving that patient what they need. For example, someone that may have a mental issue, maybe suffering from depression, that person, obviously, yes, a doctor is going to write for a prescription, but there's a component of the mental side to talk to them, psychology, psychiatry, sessions. There's that portion. But then if you bring in technology, there's lots of studies showing that there's a new device out and approved by the FDA that is basically just think of it as a magnet on your brain. You do so many sessions of this. Fast forward a couple of months, you're less likely to use the drug that you're using, or you may not need the drug. And I'm like, wow, where has medicine evolved to? You know, some psychiatrists are not there yet, but it is FDA approved. It is being used. I'm not personally pushing it. I'm just saying this is an example of how using technology and making sure you're addressing the issues directly with the patient and your focus, that is quality care.
Excellent. It's interesting. I think it was a social worker that I had on and interviewed, and she said that when you're prescribing drugs for mental health issues, that she feels like it's in some form a malpractice to prescribe medication without therapy to go with it. You know, being able to talk through things. I thought it was an interesting point, and I'm not saying that it's necessarily the truth. That's her perspective, and I thought it was valid. Given the parameters around that, what do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
I would like for people or our patients to understand it's not easy. We're human. We make mistakes. With that said, I think the key to being a successful physician is one that always listens and, importantly, always changes, meaning that you're not stuck in the box, always thinking the same way you did as a medical student and then as a resident, that you're always evolving, that you're always doing whatever you think is the cutting edge or best for that patient for that particular problem. And I think that's a tough task because medicine is growing so fast. As you know, there's all these specialties because no one doctor can do it all. And yes, your family doctor may be amazing, but it's really tough for that family medicine doctor to keep up with every single cutting edge, every single item. And I know they do their best, but keep that in mind that we try, but sometimes, you know, we can't know everything, unfortunately.
Yeah. I've had two family physicians on who both said exactly what you're talking about, that, you can have a tremendous breadth of knowledge, but you can't have both the breadth and the depth of knowledge about everything that people, you know, that folks bring in with that. I think we may have touched on this already a little bit, but talk to me, what excites you about the future of healthcare?
Well, I'll share something personal. I am currently looking at functional medicine more, and I'm looking at anti-aging fellowship that's out there, and I'm considering going back to school for the simple reason that there's so much technology that has changed. And that I feel like a lot of doctors don't have this training. And I figure selfishly, I'm like, great, why not learn more about aging and how to prevent aging? I'm 48 years old and I'm now looking at it differently than I was when I was 38 or 28. And yesterday I was talking to my son that's 18. I said, hey, how old do you want to be? Do you want to go to 80, 90, 100? Like, what is your goal? Just to see what a different generation thinks. And it's the same thing I thought. You know, when you're that age, you don't really think about it. But then there's things that I look at myself now, almost 50, thinking, man, had my dad pulled me aside or my mom and said, hey, these are the things you want to do for the rest of your life, I probably would have loved to at least hear them so that I could start doing those things so I can ideally extend my health.
Yeah, what you're saying does make a whole lot of sense because, you know, when you're 18 years old, you have no idea really about the passage of time and about what it means. And there's a, you know, kind of a joke that goes with it, and that is people look and, you know, who wants to live to be 100? I'll tell you who wants to live to be 100. Everybody who's 99, okay? you know, you can count that backwards, but it is very interesting. And maybe you can, I'll just ask for your comment on this. And that is, you can't necessarily, it's very difficult to comment or to really understand where a patient is coming from. And maybe that's why listening is so important, because they're the only one that really knows what's going on in their life, in their thought process, and so on. Does that make sense? Or what's your reaction to that?
Oh, for sure. You know, as an ER doctor, I was trained to do emergency medicine, but I was also, I did a year of family practice before ER. And I think it's interesting because there's so many theories. For example, if you have something that you're embarrassed about, you're not going to tell the front desk, I'm here to see the doctor for X, because that's embarrassing. And so early in my career, I learned, you know what? If they write X, let me make sure when it's one-on-one, or sometimes let me make sure I kick the nurse out to make sure that, hey, here we are. Now you can tell me why you're here. And I always ask, okay, I see here's your problem list. Here's this. Is this why you're here? And it's interesting. I would say 10 to 20% of the patients say, actually, I wrote that or I said that, but I'm really here for X. And I think it's important to always listen. Try not to rag on my colleagues, but sometimes doctors can get in a rush and they get tunnel vision and they see problem X and they're like, okay, let me attack that. And then the other problem, sometimes patients come in and say, okay, these are all my problems. I want you to address all 30 of them. And unfortunately, they may only have so much time. And so then the doctor says, okay, well, I think this one's the most important one. Let's attack that. But the real answer is ask the patient, what's the most important one? Because it may be they have fungus on their nail and that's the one that they really want to address. They don't care about their diabetes or everything else. And then now as a doctor, you have to explain how the two are tied and how you can make a difference.
It makes a lot of sense. As a person with a disability, I've got a spinal cord injury. And so when I go into the doctor, a lot of times the doctor will focus on my diagnosis of my spinal cord injury instead of focusing on what is my presenting issue today. And I have to be a strong self-advocate for that. And so I think that that's a message that patients need to hear. Make sure that when you are seeing the doctor, you are letting them know what is the real reason why you are in the office today. And the counterpoint to that is that as a medical professional, when someone comes into the office, you need to be clear as to what is it that brings you in here today and what can I help you with. I hope that properly summarizes what you said.
Oh, it does. It's beautiful. It's interesting, you know, as you get older, you see medicine differently. And I think when you go into medicine, you see things differently. For me, I've always been compassionate and thought, man, I've been given this gift of medicine. Why not share it with others? And then I've been on the other side of that chair where I hated the way I was being treated. So I wanted to make sure I treated everybody amazing. I'll never forget, I worked at a county hospital and one of the homeless individuals came up to me and says, hey, you're the only doctor that treats me with respect here. No one else treats me with the respect and kindness that you treat me. And I told him, I go, I treat everyone the same. I don't care if you're the CEO, president, or multimillionaire, or homeless. I treat you the same, and it's with the same compassion. And I feel, unfortunately, some doctors, they get tunnel vision. They see the problem and they jump on the problem. And they're doing great on medicine, but then they're failing on the patient bedside. And there's so many issues to that. You know, I don't want to go on a tangent, but I know personally, you know, the power of talking to a patient, listening is huge. And I feel like I've also blamed the big companies out there that are pushing the doctors and the industry to hurry up, and that you're spending too much time with the patient and we're going to pay you less. And therefore you're going to have to see more. You know, there's got to be a fine balance between the two. Ethically, I always feel weird about money and health, because I feel like, you know, this is a gift. You're helping people. You shouldn't in a way charge them. You're helping them. With that said, I understand you got expenses and bills and malpractice and whatnot that you have to pay for. So I get the balance, but it's hard for me to hear all these horrible stories out there.
I can only imagine. Last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
That's a tough one. I honestly think really just immediately would just be taking a minute before you walk into every patient room, just taking a second, slow down. Believe it or not, sit down with your patient. Maybe if possible, cut down on the amount of patients you're seeing that day, at least do it once a week. That way you see what it would mean to have that extra time with the patient. You know, from a legal point of view, there's also that part that if you're not listening, you may be missing things. So I would highly encourage doctors, slow down and spend time with your patient.
An excellent suggestion and a powerful way to wrap up our interview. Listen, Harvey Castro, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you sharing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.